Okay, I show it's 12 noon, so we can go ahead and get started. Some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such a time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item 1E. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically, mailing public comments at innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, December 6, 2022, at 12 p.m. order. Roll call and establish a quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck.
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Here.
And we are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. Pledge of Allegiance, I will ask Mr. Lucasa to lead us in the pledge. Everyone else, please place your phones on mute.
Please place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Frank. We'll now move on to staff introductions, and we'll start with corporate officers.
Thank you very much, President Adams, members of the board. I'm Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer, and hello to the board and to staff.
Thank you, Jerry. School staff.
Julie Butta, area superintendent. Good afternoon.
Hi, Julie.
Good afternoon, Lily Childs, school principal.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, everyone. Val Nguyen, state and federal programs coordinator.
Hi, Val.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff.
And School Legal Counsel.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting agenda items you are presenting.
Good afternoon, Board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
And good afternoon. This is Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. And that's Mr. Martineau.
Thank you, President Adams and board members. Please refer to your board packets for the resolution for continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 allows boards to continue to meet remotely during states of emergency as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person will present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? Someone has their mic on, so please make sure you're on mute when you're not speaking. May I hear a motion to approve item 1E?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1E.
Thank you.
Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item F, approve agenda for the December 6, 2022, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. May I hear a motion?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1F.
Thank you.
Aya Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item G, approve the minutes of the October 18th, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. May I hear a motion?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1G.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will go ahead and second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. Item H, approve the minutes of the November 9th, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. May I hear a motion?
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1H.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 3 consent agenda items. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. Number 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan. And number 3, the board will be asked to approve the E-rate vendor selections. Does any board member want to pull any consent agenda item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, and 3.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 3.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were any written comments submitted to the board?
Good afternoon, President Adams. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations, reporting that there were no written submissions for public comment or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, and that's Julie Parra.
Yes, good afternoon, President Adams, board members Lucasa, Dr. Rathbader, and Claudia Beck. At this time, I'd like to introduce Liliana Childs, who will be presenting to the board. Lily, go ahead and take it away.
Having technical difficulties over here. Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few highlights of current events with our students. OC Innovation currently has 168 students enrolled with weekly enrollments. 10 of our students attended Orange County. I think it's the slide before that one. 10 of our students attended Orange County Department of Education College and Career Discovery Fair at the Columbus Tustin Recreation Center with our school counselor, Krista Morales, and our community liaison, Lexi LaScala. students met with numerous out-of-state and international colleges. They learned about the enrollment requirements, financial aid, and major and minor options. This was a unique experience for our students who haven't yet met with out-of-state colleges or international colleges. The students had the opportunity to ask questions and learn more about their post-secondary education opportunities. In the month of October, OCI organized a Spirit Week and Red Ribbon Week to highlight the dangers of alcohol and substance abuse. Staff and students dressed up during the different theme days that included Pajama Day, Disney Day, Sports Day, and Star Wars Superhero Day. During Spirit Week, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, hosted a presentation about their efforts to stop drunk driving, support those affected by drunk driving, prevent underage drinking, and strive for stricter impaired driving policies. About 20 students and 10 staff members attended the presentation. To provide opportunities for students, OCI recently started Student Council. Student Council gives students the chance to participate in an extracurricular activity, learn leadership skills, help plan events, and represent the school. Students meet every other week to discuss upcoming events and participate in fun activities. To support our students and continue to remove barriers, our school counselor and community liaison ordered non-perishable food items for our students and families who were in need. In total, 10 bags were filled with food items as well as gift cards that were donated. Students had the opportunity to attend a field day with other students in different regions. They spent the day playing a variety of games, including basketball, volleyball, cornhole, Jenga, and more. This was an exciting opportunity for our students to meet new friends, play fun games, and check out a new program that could offer sports to our school. On November 18th, our site leadership team, school community liaison lead teacher Shanna Vieira, registrar Diana Hernandez, and supervising teacher Ms. Heath distributed ready-to-eat pasta bowls to our students, families, and local community members. They distributed 100 pasta bowls to give back to our Anaheim community. The pasta was donated to us by a local nonprofit organization, Katerina's Club. And lastly, a WIOA update. We currently have 21 students participating in our WIOA program with our partners at Ready Set OC. As pandemic restrictions are lifting, we are hoping to provide students with more workforce opportunities on site, such as workforce development workshops and opportunities. One of our success students, her name is Evelyn Corona. She's 17. She joined Ready Set OC and completed several workshops, including financial literacy, resume writing, and is going to participate in a mock interview workshop to prepare her for her first job interview. At this time, I'd like to ask the board for any input or questions they may have regarding the update.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Lily. This is Frank Lucasa. Thanks for sharing those updates. Great to see those community outreach programs that you guys have in place, and good to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
And this is David Rathgaber. It's always exciting to hear the different things that are going on, so thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item B, finance update, and that's Gita Sharifi.
Thank you, board. This is Gita with NLAC. So I'd like to bring the board's attention to, in your PDF packet, page 297, you can find the Hanmi and NLAC line of credit update. This document looks a little bit different from what I had presented in the past. We also included Lifelong Learning's line of credit on the same document. Hanmi is the bank for the school, so they do provide line of credit to the school, which is at $500,000. This document reflects the interest rate, which is at 7.5%. This full document is updated as of October 31st, 2022. That interest rate has slightly increased since my last update. It was at 6.75%. And as you all hear in the news, the Fed continuously increases the prime rate, and therefore Hanmi line of credit moves up with prime rate. So it's prime rate plus 0.5%. And the expiration date, it reflects November 3rd, 2022, but the bank is working on the renewal. So that will be updated. It's just a delay on their end, but there's no issue on the renewal of the line of credit. We also do provide the liquidity or the covenant for the bank. These are all the requirements that the bank requires us to calculate to identify the financial health of the school. And this section is also provided to the bank. So this is just for your information. The school has always met all the requirements. And then on the bottom section, you'll see the lifelong learning line of credit that's available to the school. It also reflects if there's any promissory notes outstanding, as well as the fixed interest rate, which is for the fiscal year, it's at 4%. And obviously, if you know, in the future or at any point of time, the school wants to tap into line of credit, which they do have a line of credit currently with Lifelong Learning, we do look at other options as well, just to make sure that the school receives the lowest interest rate. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, academic data update. Julie Barra.
Yes, thank you. So Orange County Workforce, I didn't just go to the next page, please. Thank you. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has maintained an average of 88.17 utilization, a 19% increase from the previous academic year. 17 additional students have enrolled since our first learning period in July, and the team's working on increasing students as well. Two of our focus goals emphasize on core credit completion. The first is that students will receive quality instruction of and complete 5 credits of ELA, ELD coursework at an average score of 70% or higher. And the second is that students will receive quality instruction of and complete 5 credits of core math course completion at an average score of 70% or higher. We will continue to monitor the math and English credit on a monthly basis overall and small group instructors to exceed last year's numbers. It's a little lower than anticipated, but we're definitely looking at that. Also, a third focus is the students that will demonstrate learning growth in the NWA assessments for math and reading by earning a higher RIT score in the spring testing window than the fall testing window. And currently, 87% of our students have taken the reading portion of the NWA, and 82% of the students have taken the math portion of the NWA. And the testing window for the fall closes December 16th. So hopefully to get increased, and want to commend Lily and her team to making sure that students are taking this assessment so we can analyze and support the students accordingly. And next, in regards to the NWA data, from the start of the 22-23 school year, on July 1st through November 7th, 147 students tested an NWA reading. Of those students, 15 had scores indicating their college and career readiness. A score of 236 or higher, or a score of 1385 Lexile or higher, is needed to achieve the college and career readiness. There were no students who scored at the beginning reading level a RIT of 164 or lower, or a Lexile of BR5 or lower. And for math, during the same time period, 31 students tested an NWA math. Of those, 5 students tested at the college and career readiness level, a score of 251 RIT or higher, or a quartile score of 1,350 or higher is needed to achieve the CCR level for math. There was one student who scored at the emerging mathematician level, a score of 172 RIT or EM15 quantile. And next, for the fourth focus goal, is that our English learners will receive support and make progress towards English language proficiency and meeting reclassification criteria. 80% of our students participated in English language proficiency assessments for California, also known as the LPAC. Of those students, 14.63% were proficient, and we're extremely proud of the progress of our English learners demonstrated on the LPAC. We'd like to provide the appropriate interventions to support the 48.7% of the students achieve a performance level of 3 to move to a proficiency for reclassification purposes. So those 48.7 move them to the fourth level because the State Board of Education approved the use of LPAC overall performance level 4 as one of the proficiency criteria for reclassification. So they're definitely making an increase through the bands. Next, just as far as participation, Orange County Workforce Innovation exceeded the expectation of at least 95% participation rate, as noted in this chart. For ELA and mathematics, 97% of students participated, and 100% of students took the science CAS portion. And next, the entire team collaborated to ensure that all seniors strive to, overall, for ELA, 45.58% of our students met or exceeded the standard, a 70% increase for the year prior, and that's for ELA. In mathematics, unfortunately, only 2.94% met or exceeded the standard, which is a decrease from 8% from the previous year. And as previously stated, we'll continue to monitor math credit completion, because we definitely want to see the rates increase. The entire team collaborated to ensure that all seniors strive to meet the finish line. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School graduation rate in the 21-22 academic year was an astounding 96.2%, a significant increase of 39% from the year prior. And we have anticipated 30 students expected to graduate this spring. And that concludes my presentation on the academic data. Is there any questions you may have?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Julie. Frank Lucasa. Thank you for the update, and obviously it's great to see these graduation rates increasing. I know that math and English in particular have been two subjects that we've been focused on, and it looks like there's work to do, particularly around math. Do you see the rate of retesting increasing or decreasing, particularly for math amongst the students?
That's a great question, Frank, and I'll also defer to Lily, but as we're providing more opportunities for a small group instruction, a lot of students are taking advantage of that right now because, as you know, math is difficult. So the course offerings have been more robust than previous years. And Lily, do you want to take note of or speak to Frank's point?
Yes, absolutely. So like Julie said, this academic year, we really focused on small group instruction for our math instruction to ensure that students are progressing in math. Due to COVID and last academic year, it was a decrease because of lack of instruction. This year, that is our focus, so we're hoping to increase that. Prior to this year, we did see a decrease in retesting, to answer your question specifically, but this year, we're hoping to maintain our current retesting rate or increase it.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I just wanted to say, Julie, congratulations on the graduation rate for this year, 96.2. Appreciate that. I have a little question about how do you get the kids to come in and test? I mean, is there any way to get them to come in and test a little bit more? I mean, I know that's difficult, but...
So Lily and the team has taken a different approach this year as far as NWA testing and making it a part of this is an assessment. It's absolutely needed and to really account for where there's deficiencies. And so Lily, there's 2 or 3 days that they've not closed down the center, but it's making very intentional that all students are going to come in. And it's kind of an experience where they're offering additional food and other goodies for kids to come in and do that. And so we're going to be doing some more data analysis in the spring and utilizing PLCs to talk through, well, what does this data mean and how can we support and kind of looking at the ESPEC results. You know, we're only showing 2% proficiency, whereas English, it was over, 38%. So really looking and being intentional at what are the students learning. And that's one of the main goals of our, we're doing a PLC launch, professional learning community launch in the first 2 weeks of January for professional development. And that's truly going to focus on student learning. So what are they learning? How do we know they're learning? And if they learned it, what next for those students?
Good. And to add to that as Thank well, we really want to make sure that we're engaging our students in their own academics. So letting them know the importance of NWA, why they're taking it, and how it will affect their individualized learning plans. So depending on their lexiles and their growth and their credits in an NWA, will kind of monitor their learning plan going forward. So allowing the students to take control of their academics and understand why it's so important as well has increased our overall testing participation. But we are hoping to push to 100. We're close. We're getting there, but it is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, annual LLAC services report, and that has been postponed until the January meeting. So we'll now go to item 5, public hearing, and I will ask for a motion to open the public hearing.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thank you.
All right, Beth, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. The board will now hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. The public hearing is now open as of 12:26 p.m. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Julie Parra, Area Superintendent. Julie?
Yes, thank you. The purpose of this public hearing is to solicit the recommendation and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. A red line copy of the revised policy is provided on pages 347 of your board packet. It reflects the changes required by Assembly Bill 740, which was signed by the governor on September 18 and goes into effect January 1st, 2023. You'll see that section 2.7 of the policy concerning involuntary removal procedures has been revised to extend parental rights and notification requirements affecting homeless, foster, or Indian children, or youth to that student's educational rights holder, social worker, or tribal and county social worker as applicable during the involuntary removal process. We've already begun working with our counseling support team to implement these new procedures and requirements so that we're prepared for the January 1st due date. And that concludes my presentation. Are there any members of the public who wish to provide comments, and do the board members have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the revised personalized learning policy. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Good afternoon, President Adams. This is Jeff Martino reporting that there were no written submissions for public comments or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now request a motion to close the public hearing.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. The public hearing is now closed at 12:29 p.m. And we will now move on to item 6, action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2022 annual audit report for the school. Gita Shreepi.
Thank you, board. I'd like to introduce you to Brian Hadley, partner with Wilkinson Hadley King and Company, LLP. Their firm does go through the audit process and does the audit for the school. So I will defer the report to Brian. And Brian is here today. Brian? You are on mute.
Sorry about that. Thank you. My name is Brian Hadley. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present the audit report at this board meeting today. My intention is to just give a brief initial overview of the audit report. Then if any of the board members have questions, I'd be happy to answer those questions. I'd like the board to know that Wilkinson Hadley King is an approved C CPA firm by both the California Department of Education and the California State Controller's Office to perform audits of local California K-12 local education agencies. And then I'd also like you to know that any immaterial items or recommendations that we have are communicated to management during the course of our test work. I'm going to refer to pages in the audit report, and I'm referring to pages that are at the bottom middle page of the audit report, not the pages in your board packet. If you could turn to page number one of the audit report, this is the executive summary. This summary is written by management, and it just gives management the opportunity to tell readers of the financial statement about what's happening at the school, what the mission of the school is, or any other important events that management wants the readers of the financial statements to know. If you now turn to page number two of the audit report, this is the auditor's opinion letter. And this looks a little different from last year's letter. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants changed the format, and they moved the auditor's opinion right up to the second paragraph, and that says, in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the school at June 30, 2022. And so that is what's referred to as an unmodified opinion. That's the kind of opinion that you want. It means that the financial statements really do present the financial position of the school at the end of last fiscal year. If you now turn to page number four of the audit report, this is the statement of financial position. That's what it's called for a nonprofit entity. For a for-profit entity, this would be referred to as a balance sheet. And you can see it lists the assets and the liabilities. It lists what you own and what you owe. You can see the total assets are $1.615 million. And the total liabilities are $621,000. The assets consist of cash. The two major assets are cash and accounts receivable. If you take the current assets on this schedule, and the current assets are the cash and the assets that will be converted to cash within the next year, and you divide those by the current liabilities, which are the liabilities that will have to be paid within the next year, you get a current ratio of 2.54, which is a good and the current ratio is an indication of whether the entity will be able to pay its liabilities within the coming year. And your current ratio is 2.54, so you have two and a half times more current assets than you do liabilities, and so that's a good indication that the school will be able to meet all of its obligations in the coming year. If you take the total assets minus the total liabilities, you get what is referred to as the net assets. And that number for Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is $995,000. So the assets are greater than the liabilities by about $995,000. That $995,000 consists of $18,000 that's invested in $18,115 that's invested in capital assets, and then there are $232,497 that is restricted for state programs, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then the rest of it is in that undesignated category under the net assets section on the statement of financial position. You can see it has undesignated $744,275. If you now turn the page to page number five, this is what's referred to as the statement of activities. And on a for-profit entity, it would be an income statement. It shows the total revenue and expenses of the year, of the entity for the audit year. You can see in the middle of the page, in the far right-hand column, there's a line that says total revenue supporting gains, and it shows $4,174,033. That is the total revenue that the school had during the year ended June 30, 22. of that 4.1 million, 3.1 consisted of the local control funding formula calculations, consisting of state aid of a little over 3 million, and then EPA or Education Protection Account state aid, 45,000, and property taxes of 21,000. But your total revenue is 4.174 million. The expenses are broke down in two categories, program service expense and supporting service expense. And the next page will give you detail, additional detail as to what makes up those amounts. And so the excess of the revenue over the expenses for the year was $110,151. If you turn to page number six, that gives, this schedule gives additional detail as to what makes up the expenses. And I guess really the only thing I'd like the management to note on this is the total of the program service expense column is $3,756,117. And that number represents 92% of your total expenditures for the year. And so in other words, you're 90, which is good, you're 92% of your expenditures are used to provide educational programs for the students of the school, which is good. You start to worry about it where the supporting, where the management and general costs get more, you know, get high, but you know, your 92% of your total expenditures are for program services, which is a very good ratio. If you turn now to page number eight of the audit report, this shows a diagram about an organization structure, and all I really want the board to know about this structure is that Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is one of three charter schools that's operated by Western Educational Corporation. We also audited Western Educational Corporation, and there were no findings in that audit report. If you now turn to page number 13, this is the beginning of the footnotes that provide additional detail about the assets and liabilities that were reported in the financial statements. For example, you can see footnote C shows that you have $1,048,813 worth of cash. And of that amount, $287,000 was in the county treasury and $761,000 is in bank accounts. If you turn the page to page number 14, you can see additional detail as to what makes up, for example, under footnote D, what makes up your accounts receivable, and footnote E, what makes up your prepaid expenses. And so if you have additional questions or want additional detail about those amounts that were reported on the financial statements, you can turn to these footnotes and it will give you additional detail. I did want to point out one thing on footnote L, which is on page number 16 of the audit report. Footnote L shows the amounts that are restricted. And so for it shows that it provides the detail for the restricted net assets amounts. And what that means, these are grants that you've received and you can't spend the money on these that's restricted. You can only spend the money for these grants on these programs. This money cannot be spent on other programs of the school. They're restricted for use in these specific programs. And there's two new grants this year that I'd just like to draw your attention to. They're the two for $75,000, the ADG Access Grant and the ADG Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. And those are just grants that, those are new grants that provide money to help high school students graduate from high school while they still complete certain course requirements. And then if you turn to page number 20 of the audit report, this is the beginning of the supplementary information section. And these schedules are not required by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. They're required by the California State Controller and the California Department of Education. And the first schedule there on page 20 is an organization structure of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. It lists the board members and the administration at June 30, 2022. If you turn the page to page number 22, this is the schedule of average daily attendance. And, you know, for this year, the year under audit, you got paid based on prior year ADA, but typically the charter school and in future years, the charter school, this is how you get your proportionate from the state. It's based on the average daily attendance. And the, and what I'd like to draw your attention to is you see that there's four columns there, two for the second period report and two for the annual report. And the second column under both of those headings is marked not applicable. There's, you know, it has a revised column and it's marked not applicable. And the reason it's marked not applicable is when we tested the attendance, we did not find any exceptions to what, to the attendance that had been calculated by the school and originally submitted to the state. And I give credit to that because the school has technicians on staff that are, there are people that are technicians that kind of do a pre-audit of those attendance numbers before we get to them. The school actually has made an investment in people to make sure that the attendance is reported correctly. And not all charter schools do that, especially not independent study charter schools, because it's a real time-consuming and tedious process to calculate the attendance for an independent study charter school. If you now turn to the to page number 31, the last thing I'd like to draw your attention to, this is the schedule of auditors' results. It lists the opinion, the type of auditor's report issued, and that was an unmodified opinion. But it also lists whether you had material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that needed to be brought to the board's attention and to the attention of the California Department of Education and state controller. And you did not have any items that needed to be brought to their attention. If you turn the page to page number 32, you can see that there were no financial statement findings or state award findings on this audit report. And there were also no findings from the prior year audit report that needed to be followed up on to see if changes had been made. Well, that completes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Brian. Frank Lucasa. Thank you for going through this audit and sharing this. Looks like a pretty clean audit to me, so.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6A?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6A.
Thank you.
Hi, Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with four yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to review and approve the revised personalized learning policy. Julie Parra.
Yes, if there's no further questions regarding the presentation earlier, I'd like to request that the board consider approving the personalized learning policy.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6B?
Greg Picasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6B.
Thank you.
Later back, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with four yes votes. Item C, the board will be asked to discuss and approve the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant Plan. And that's Bao Nguyen.
Hello, board. Good afternoon. My name is Bao Nguyen, and I am the State and Federal Programs Coordinator for Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. I have the privilege to present to the board our Arts, Music, and Instructional Discretionary Block Grant. For reference, please see pages 369 to 363 in your board packets. The Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant is one-time funding through the 2025-2026 school year. Funds may be used for professional development, acquiring instructional materials, improving school climate, including training on de-escalation and restorative justice strategies, developing diverse book collections with culturally relevant texts, operational costs, and COVID-19 costs. Orange County Innovation plans to focus its resources, planning, and funds from the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grants for students. Current considerations include professional development, instructional materials, operational costs, and COVID-19 costs. Specifically, Orange County Innovation plans to create or expand arts, music, and instructional programs in the subjects outlined in the plan. These funds shall be available for encumbrance through the 2025-2026 fiscal year. The school reserves the right to make refinements to the above plan due to organizational changes, goals, and or California state requirements. It is recommended that the board considers the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant Plan 2022-2023. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Val, this is Frank Lucas. Just one quick question. The allocation of dollars for the fiscal year of 2022-23, is that a increase or decrease over last year?
This is a brand new funding for this year, so it's a new grant. So
got it. Okay.
Yeah, we have until 25-26 to utilize the $152,000.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I'm always glad to hear that we're giving some money to music and building those kinds of programs, because those are the only courses that 70 is not passing. It teaches the kids to strive for excellence. So thank you for this.
Thank you for your comment, David. I absolutely agree.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6C.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6C.
Thank you.
Bud Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathman?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the 2022-2023 first interim report. Gita Shriki.
Thank you, board. I'd like to bring the board's attention to your packet. In your PDF packet, pages 365 to 372, you can find the Form 62 CDE form that shows the first interim report. We also included a supplemental report that compares the original budget with the actual year to date. So if there's any questions, I can also respond to that as well. So the first interim report is the first financial report of the fiscal year, which shows financial condition of the school after the first 4 months of the operations from July 1 through October 31st, 2022. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial section includes original budget approved by the board in June in column A, the revised budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D. That matches the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial section also provides projection of the school reserves and its components at the year end. I'm going to now go over some highlights. We'll start with average daily attendance page. It's the last section of Form 62. If you look at the bottom half of the Form A, it shows the ADA that's used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the revised budget and the projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 243, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 235, a small decrease of 8 ADA. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of the Form 62, reviewing the revenues and expenditures on the first page. On column A, it shows the original budget approved in June. Column B shows the proposed revised budget that includes revisions to the projected ADA revenue and expenditures. Column C shows the actuals year to date, and column D shows projections for year end that matches the proposed revised budget in column B. On the revenue side, the school is projecting a total revenue of $4.7 million. This is $704,000 higher than the school's original budget. This increase comes from multiple changes that impacted the school's revenue sources. LCFF sources is the first one we're going to go over. It shows an increase in projected revenue of $81,000 compared to the original budget. This is due to the COLA increase from 6.56% to 12.84% that impacted the base supplemental and concentration portion of the funding. The increase in COLA offset the decrease in funding due to the reduction of ADA. And the second one is the federal revenue. Shows a small decrease of $17,000 from $173,000 to $156,000. This decrease comes from a reduction of utilization of federal ELO funding during the year. Federal ELO funds are part of multi-year plans, and they are recognized as revenue as they are spent. So the remaining funds will be available, will be spent and recognized as revenue in the future years. Now we're going to look at the other state revenue. This is a significant increase of $310,000 to $947,000 that comes from the recognition of two restricted multi-year state grants that were not available at the time the original budget was developed. So we just went over the Arts and Music Block Grant, which is a one-time funding. This was not in the original budget, so therefore it's included in the first interim report under the revised budget as well as the projections. It's $452,665. All funds will be dispersed and recognized in the current year. 50% of the funding will be dispersed in a few days, and 50% will be dispersed in April of 2023. This fund will be available for expenses through 2526. And the second one, which is a large one-time funding as well, is the Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant. This is $472,244. All funds will also be dispersed and recognized in the current year. 60% of the funding was dispersed in late November, and the remaining 50% will be dispersed in May of 2023. This fund will be available for expenses through fiscal year 2027. And the last portion is the other local revenue. There's a small increase of $2,807 coming from refunds. On the expense side, the school is projecting a total expenditure of $4.5 million, showing an increase of $526,000 compared to the original budget. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the new one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to the increase of available funding. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $115,000 or 4% due to the combination of an increase in teacher and classified instructional salaries and a decrease in support and administrative salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $135,000 to $278,000 due to an increase in school instructional supplies and equipment. Projected operating expenses increased by 20% from $1.2 million to $1.5 million and includes a decrease in training and an increase in communication and professional services spending. After current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is anticipating an excess revenue of $195,000. The net position section in the first page shows a beginning net position of $994,000. With the projected excess revenue of $195,000, the school will end up fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $1.1 million. Of this total, $765,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal year according to the restricted. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $424,000 will be equal to 9% of the total annual expenditures. And that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6D.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6D.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. Item E. The board will be asked to approve the revised committed funds plan for the school. Julie Barra.
Yes. For your reference, please see pages 374 to 376 of your board packet for a copy of the revised committed funds plan. The establishment of the funding of financial reserve is important to the long-term health and stability of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. Financial reserves are needed to manage cash flow and to help protect the charter school from unforeseen revenue shortfalls, unexpected costs, and economic uncertainties. Financial reserves also help a charter school save large for large purposes and reduce the cost of borrowing money. As stated in the financial reserves policy, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is currently maintaining the minimum 10% and close to the maximum 20% reserve amount with an unrestricted balance of 18.59%. In year one of the plan, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has made progress towards planning for future unrestricted fund expenditures, such as researching building costs for an expansion center to serve students in Orange County. We're still planning to save additional funds when available for the costs associated with opening a new center and continue our efforts to increase enrollment at Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. Due to the unexpected and unprecedented one-time funding sources provided by the state of California, the school was able to meet the needs of campus without having to use any unrestricted reserve funds. Consequently, the school was able to implement many new programs with one-time funding that we hope to continue to offer our students and expand upon in the future. In addition, restricted reserve funds were spent on expanded learning opportunities such as summer intersession, student technology, and student support services. The plan expenditures for restricted funds are also noted in the committed funds plan in the board packet. Changes to the stated plan due to the mitigating financial impact for major non-recurring or unforeseen expenditures and other needs stemming from changes in the student enrollment, academic needs, program needs, et cetera, will require board approval. For emergency or urgent spending needs, we ask approval from the board to authorize the area superintendent, myself, to make and execute such decisions. This concludes my presentation on the committed funds plan. At this time, I'd like to ask for any feedback or input from the board and recommend that the board approves the revised committed plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6E.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6E.
Thank you.
Senator Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to review and approve Wilkinson Hadley and King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2021 Form 990 Return of Organization Exempt from Income Tax. Gita Shrivi.
Thank you, board. I'd like to direct your attention to the engagement letter. You can find it in your PDF packet, pages 378 to 79. This letter is from Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, to prepare the fiscal year and the June 30th, 2022 federal return of organizational exempt from income tax Form 990, related federal statements and schedules, and the California exempt organizational annual information return Form 199 with its related statements and schedules. Wilkinson Hadley King and Company LLP, as Brian Hadley just mentioned, they are listed under the California Department of Education and State of California Controller's Office as an approved auditor. As noted on page 2 of the engagement letter, the preparation fee for the corporation is $1,300. I would like at this time to recommend to the board Wilkinson Hadley King and Company LLP to prepare the school's 2021-990 and other related tax forms and documents. Thank you, board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6F?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6F.
Thank you.
And Beth, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. Item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown. You're on mute, Mr. Brown.
I'm unmuted. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with the board and talk about what we had just had from Superintendent Parra and Leanna Childs. I love the reports. I think it's great that we get all of these reports and that they're given to us in a concise and clear manner. Regarding Leanna's Childs' report, the Discovery Fair, you know, when you can reach out to a community and get these young students involved in that, and they really see what's beyond their own personal lives, if they can reach out to the communities with educational programs, student council programs, great idea, get some involved, get some responsibilities, providing food to the community. Again, it seems to me that you're really involved in getting these students beyond the normal scope of what we have with sports, field trips, and all that stuff. Having said all of that, I want to really kind of echo the comments of our board members regarding testing and regarding the math problem. It's been a problem for quite some time. We're receiving students with very little math background, and therefore you have to reach down deep to bring them back out. The reading program, that's great. You know, if you can't read, you can't figure out what the math problem was. But I see that you're working diligently on that, putting together programs to make that happen. I think that's what's important. And you got to feed them. If you put pizza out there, they'll generally come and take a test. So maybe we have to test them on the taste of pizza. I'm not too sure, but we can work that out. Graduation rates, terrific. You know, that area there is so opportunity-wise. I just think that we need to reach out more directly, and we'll try to help you in those areas so that we can get those students back on track and get some of the community students in that are leaving their schools and coming to us again. But having said all of that, I better turn this back to our president, President Adams, back to you.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Thank you, President Adams, and thank you, Mr. Brown, for your comprehensive comments. I just like to add, I was struck by Board Member Lacasa's intimate understanding of our operations, even with staffing, by, welcoming Lily back, and it was just heartwarming, and I thank you for that, sir, and for all of you who are so committed to our staff. Also, I want to highlight Brian Hadley's comment about how we stand apart as an organization in our commitment to excellence, if I may say, in our student attendance accounting. It's very important. I refer to that team that he's referred to as our internal auditors. And Val, I don't want to leave you out of that, because there are tens of thousands of transactions that take place financially, as Chief Gita Sharifi knows. And Val, your commitment to aligning those expenditures to those specific line items in the grants and our LCAP funding and all of that is so valuable. So just wanted to give a shout out to you guys and just to say thank you to all of you who work tirelessly to serve our students. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board members have observations or comments at this time?
Hi, Michael. Frank Lucasse here. I just want to thank all the presenters today. The information provided was very valuable and informative, and just I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board member comments?
Yeah, this is David Rathgaber. I want to echo something that Mr. Brown was talking about. You know, helping these kids with reading is more important than many people realize. Several states, and California used to be one of them, use third grade illiteracy to determine future prison needs, because kids fall behind in reading, never catch up, and can never catch up socially and economically. So helping these kids who are behind get caught up in reading does more for them than just helping them to read. Helps them to be better functioning members of society and gives them a future. While I am discouraged about the math, I am very, very pleased about the reading. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 8, closing items. Our next regular board meeting is January 5th, 2023 at 11:30 a.m. And now I'll hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Frank Lucasse, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Beth, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasse?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Great meeting.